days are so blue when you're away. My heart longs for you, so won't you stay? My darling, hold me tight and whisper to me, then soft through a starry night I'll hear a rhapsody.
Watch these cats do this new creation. Boog it, nothing to it, Jack. Boog it, on the mellow track. Boog it, dig it, coming back. Bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jim, wrong. Boog it, everybody now. Boog it, everybody bow. Boog it, take it easy now. Bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jim, wrong. You do like shining a window, but you ain't got no window, so you just picture a window and boogie, slow and easy, then you boogie. Nothing to it, Jack, boogie, on the mellow track, boogie, dig it coming back, bim bam, skim skim, jim jim wrong. Nothing to it, Jack. On the mellow track. Dig it coming back. Bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jam, romp. Everybody now. Everybody bow. Take it easy now.
Bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jam, romp.
You do like shining a window, but you ain't got no window. So you just picture a window and boogie.
Boogie,
throw it in and you boogie. Do it, Jack, boogie. On the mellow track,
boogie.
I think you're coming back. A bim, a bam, a skim, a scam, a jim, jam, wrong. Boogie.
Thank you. It's very clear.
I'm in.
Okay. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, March 8th. We have a roll call, please, Linda.
Hello. I'm here.
Member Clinton.
Hi.
Member DeGasis.
I am here.
Member Iman.
Present.
Member King.
Here.
Thank you. Member Whalen.
Here.
Vice Chair Schellenberger.
Here.
Chair Branch.
Here. That was exciting. All right, before we begin, this virtual meeting is held pursuant to AB 361. The meeting will be virtual because meeting in person would present imminent risks to health or safety of attendees. The public may only view the meeting on Goleta Channel 19 and or online at the city's website and not in the council chamber. So with that, we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
States of America. And to the republic
for which it stands. One nation.
One nation.
Under God.
Under God.
Indivisible.
Indivisible.
With liberty and justice.
With liberty and justice for all.
All right. Very good. So before we start, at this time, the public has an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Linda, does anybody want to speak on a non-agenda item?
Would any attendees who wish to speak on an item that's not on today's agenda, please click on the raise hand icon now. No, Chair Branch, there's no one at this time.
All right, then very good. Then that begins our item A1, the review of agenda. Mary?
Yes, good afternoon, Chair Branch and members. Today we have no changes in the agenda and just want to make note, as you will, on item B1 that the chair and also member DeGasis will be recusing.
Very good. Item A2, review and approval of our minutes for February 22nd. Does somebody want to make a motion for that?
I motion to approve the minutes as
Okay. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Very good. Martha seconds. Any discussion? All right, then. Roll call, please.
Member Clinton.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Member Clinton.
Aye.
Member DeGasis.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member King. Member King. I believe you voted aye earlier. Member King. Member Whalen.
I abstain due to absence.
And Vice Chair Schellenberger.
I also need to abstain due to absence.
Chair Branch.
Aye.
And can I get a vote from Member King?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay. That's exciting. All right. That takes us to item B1. I will have to recuse myself because the applicant is a client of mine. So I will leave it in the capable hands of Craig Schellenberger.
Okay. I think does the clerk read it into the record first?
Yes, item B1 is the Fuel Depot signage located at 55 North Fairview Avenue, APN 077-170-025. It's case number 22-0003-ZC, and it's for conceptual, preliminary, and final review.
Thank you. And we'll turn it over to Christina McGuire for the planner presentation.
Vice Chair Schallenberger, would you mind doing the declarations before staff presentation?
Sure. Can we do a, do we do this roll call?
You can just call on the members.
Okay, I'll just go off of my screen. Member Iman?
No site visit, no ex parte communications.
Member King?
Member King?
I'm sorry, it looks like you're muted.
He's on his phone. Why don't you move on?
Yeah, we'll come back. Member Whalen?
Virtual site visit, and I've passed the site many times over the years.
Very good. Member Clinton? I think you may have both the computer and the phone audio going concurrently. Karis, we can't hear you at all. We're getting an echo, but
suggesting the echo could be solved by either turning off the audio on your computer or the audio on your phone.
Well, I've turned up the audio.
Maybe I would just hang up the phone. Well, I think I suggest just hanging up the phone.
Is this better? Okay.
Much better. Perfect.
Okay.
Declarations, please. How about Mary? Can they chat in their response?
No.
No.
I would suggest, Member King, are you able to hear me right now? Member King, are you able to hear? Yeah, he's having a issue and he needs to use his phone. Member King, can you get back on your phone? Yeah.
There we go.
Are you able to hear me? Is your phone muted? Because we can't hear you. So the problem is he's able to hear us through his phone, but not the video. And we can hear him only through the video. So, which is the echo.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's an echo.
You may need to turn down your speakers of the computer and just that way, I think that's maybe what's feeding back.
This better?
It's still an echo, but let me try to just get the declarations out of the way. Site visit or ex parte? We can't hear.
Yeah, I think Craig, if you want to just continue, I think the other members, and we'll see. Let the staff do the presentation and see where we go. We do have a quorum without Member King.
Mary, in the meantime, Okay. Can we have Mr. King turn down his computer audio all the way down since he's calling in from a phone? If he could turn down the computer audio all the way down.
Member King? Member King, yep, he's not looking. I'll go ahead and communicate him another way. So if you want to proceed.
Okay, Karis, can we get your declarations again, please?
Yes. Virtual site visit, no ex parte conversations.
That is correct.
Okay. If I may, Member King, you need to turn your audio on your computer all the way down. You're able to hear us through your computer, but turn your audio down, but not off. And then you can communicate with us via phone and you can hear us through video. Does that make sense? Can you say your declaration again?
Yeah, I've turned it down. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Perfect. Okay, we got it. Very good.
Declarations, please.
I have been there many times, buy it daily, and I've not spoken to anybody.
Okay. And I think Chair Branch is recused, and Martha, I don't see on the screen here, but has she stepped down as well?
Yes, Member DeGasis and Chair Branch are recusing from the site.
Okay. And then I have also been to the site many times and have had no ex parte communications. So back to you, Linda, please.
I believe it's a staff presentation now. Christina, if you want to come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Good afternoon, DRB members, and thank you, Vice Chair Schellenberger. I will go ahead and share my screen now. Okay, great. Can you guys see that okay? All right, yes. Thank you. The project before you today is at 55 North Fairview Avenue. It's a fuel station, currently Shell station. It's been there for many years. It'll be a package of 8 signs transferring from Shell gas station to Fuel Depot. This is just an overall site plan showing where the signs will be located. During the presentation, we can come back to this if you'd like. So we have, Okay, we have 4 signs here, which are proposed to be on the canopies of the gas station. One thing to note is that in the sign ordinance for the city of Goleta, there is a maximum sign for allowed signage in terms of square footage allowed. The maximum allowed is 25 square feet per sign. Each one of these is 15.8 square feet, so it does comply with our ordinance. These are our 4 signs are identical, located on the canopies. There is also proposed a ground sign. One thing to note is this sign is actually going to be changed because the sign ordinance has a provision that electronically changeable copy, such as this here, requires a major conditional use permit. I do have another set of plans that shows manually changed permit. It is the same size sign. That's the only difference in that. And I'll go ahead and show that sign as well. But let's keep going on the sign package here. There's also a pin mounted sign, Fairview Lube and Smog Center. Another sign here is this existing pole sign. Pole signs are prohibited in the sign ordinance. However, our non-conforming ordinance allows the signs to be maintained and so long as they're not expanded or their non-conforming use is not expanding, that's okay. So you'll see this sign here has manually changeable copy. So, and it is in the same sign location, at the same size, the same height as the previously approved shell sign. Here are some photos showing the site and simulations showing the signs in the different locations. There's the pin mounted sign and this one here. Although there was a slight change because the applicant did respond to the changeable text. So this is the proposed ground sign here. Instead of the only difference between the one that you was in your packet online and anything else is that this changeable copy here for the fuel sign is now manually changeable instead of electronically changeable. So this is the change here. And the other change is on the non-conforming pole sign here. This, they just had a slight design change, and the applicant will be able to explain why they made that change. But again, sorry, I'm gonna go back to that. This is also manually changeable copy. And with that, I'd like to turn over the presentation to Dan Morris, who is the applicant for the project.
Vice Chair Schallenberger, if I may, I just wanted to expand a little bit on the manual changeable sign as opposed to the electronic changeable, and I know because the board has approved electronic changeable signs previously in our new code that element will require a major conditional use permit, and that was something that was discovered through processing this application. So as of now, to be able to approve the project as is with DRB, and it needs to be manually changed. So I'll let the applicant or the owner expand on that. Just wanted to clarify.
Okay, so does the applicant want to add on to anything that the staff presentation has presented?
Sure, just a little bit. This is Dan Morris for Freedom Signs, and I'm joined by John Price, the station owner. So just to apologize for the slight change in plans. We were originally submitted these as digital signs, similar to signs that have been approved right across the street at the 76 station and the World Gas. Digital signage has been approved in Galea, you know, pretty consistently over the last decade. And this small change has been made to the code that no longer allows changeable copy on gas station signs. It seems strange. We're doing everything we can to, see if that was actually the intention of the rule, but we've resubmitted with manually changeable signs because John needs to get his gas station up and operating. So if we could go just take a look at the existing, you've got them up there, the pole sign, because our ultimate goal will be to make that a digitally changeable sign. We'd like to keep basically the proportions of the inserts, and we would just switch out the colors and the Shell logo for the Fuel Depot logo. And then on the ground signs, change the coloring. All of the signs we're applying for are currently existing in the locations. We're just changing sizes and logos. The biggest change is probably the wall sign that's on the building. If you go next page, this one, Fairview Lube and Smog Center. I believe the there is a picture of what's existing on the last page of the package. That's page 13. That'll show you what's there right now. We're cleaning up that front, getting rid of a bunch of the banners and small signage, and just making it one set of three-dimensional letters. Replacing all of the canopy lettering that currently says Shell with internally illuminated Fuel Depot logos. But basically, like for like, size-wise, the only real issue for us being the lack of an allowance for digital signage, which was kind of a shock and kind of last minute. So again, apologies for the differences in packages that you're seeing. With that, I'll let John speak to the digital signs or anything else related. Thanks, guys.
Hello. We believe the ordinance that's intact right now is not the intent. I'll be working with management, Peter and whoever, Ann Wells. This is the LED signs are not a movable copy, and it's something that we're going to challenge. So we wanted you to see what we're up to. Right now, I'm going to have to settle for just the vinyl color change out with the manual change plate number plates. And we'll be challenging, and I think with good reason. I worked with Barbara Massey and with Cecilia Brown, discussed it both of them, and they said that was not the intent to limit or restrict these LED changeable signs. So anyway, for now, I'll have to settle with the manual plates, and then we'll challenge with Peter and Ann Wells and get in front of the council for changes. So I guess what we're looking for is to have you look at both, approve what we've submitted now, along with any comments you might have on the LEDs, because again, I'd prefer not to come back once the council has cleaned up the ordinance. So, that's it.
Understood. I would like to ask a couple of just general questions about that would clarify the presentation. So first, we as members, what we're seeing on the screen is different than what we were presented. There are additional pages in this PDF that's on the screen now. Ours, I think, is only 10 pages long, but I wanted to get some clarification on signs E and F at the corner there. Are those, my recollection of that site was there is a pole sign there now. Yeah,
there is.
And is that to replace?
A different corner. So if you go to page 11 in the package, those on the right there, those are the two ground signs that we're replacing. The pole sign is on the other corner of the lot. If you go to page one and look at the site plan, you'll see the different locations. One corner has a pole sign. So E and F are up here on the corner of Kyriel and Fairview, and the pole sign is tucked down in a corner closer to the freeway.
Right, okay. Very good.
Those signs are really controlled by what California Weights and Measures. The way the state ordinance reads is that each sign has to be conspicuous to each traveling direction. So I think that's really governed by the state.
So, and then also the other question that is like overall to the presentation is, so the vinyl lettering on pole sign, what is that, H? And then the E and F ground signs look like they're proposed as digital. Does that, so again, we don't have the existing photo, so I'm having to sort of flip around back to Google Earth images. So the existing that are there now are vinyl hand replaced signs, but what's correct being proposed, I'm asking because I thought I heard at the beginning of the addendum to the staff presentation was that this particular application that we're approving today does not include digital signage. Is that correct?
Vice Chair Schallenberger, that's correct. I think the applicant, the owner, would like to have the electronic changeable signs, but given the ordinance, the way it's written, what's approvable today is just the manual changing, which is what's existing. Both for the sign here and the one that's on the pole. So that's what DRB. But I think the owner also is inviting comments on the digital electronic changeable copies as well.
Well, that's where the confusion lies, is that the attachment that we got with the agenda doesn't have what we're seeing on the screen now. The attachment in the agenda is the digital. So, okay, that clears it up. So let me go to public comments or questions. I'm not seeing any. I don't think we had any.
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item, please click on the hand raise icon now. And no, Chair Schellenberger, there's no one here at this time.
Seeing none, I will go to the board here for questions and comments. Let's just do questions and comments together. I think this is relatively simple. And we'll start with Member Iman.
I do not have any questions or comments, except that I hope that they will be able to go with the electronic changes. I'd hate to see somebody fall from the ladder trying to change that pole sign.
Okay. Thank you, Member King.
I have no questions. I have no questions or comments.
Member Whalen.
Yes, a simple question, but first, thank you, Vice Chair Schellenberger, for clarifying the proposal. I got very confused too when the applicants were talking about digital signs and our copy that we were sent had digital signs. I was confused too, but we should have no consideration of digital signs in this proposal. Are any of these, here's my question, are any of these current signs illuminated either externally or internally?
Yes, the pole sign and the ground signs, the price sections and the logos are illuminated currently and will be illuminated with the changes.
And are they illuminated internally or externally?
Internally, as are the canopy signs internally illuminated by our LEDs.
The canopy signs are illuminated.
Yes.
Do you have any anything in your presentation to show how that happens?
It's a light box can. They are on page, let's see. Page two, internally illuminated sign cans mounted on canopy fascia in four locations. LED strips internally on the sides make the sign glow.
And those are existing?
No, existing are three-dimensional shell letters. I'm unsure if those are illuminated, but if you can see those on page... on page 12, there we go.
So those are the existing shell stones. Illuminated
internally.
I believe those would be halo lit if they are illuminated, yeah.
So could you go to your photo simulation of the proposed canopy?
That is on page 8.
So the light boxes have some depth of a few inches that doesn't really show up in these. Is that correct?
Yeah, hard to show in that straight on picture, but yes, they're about 6 inches deep.
All right. Thank you for that clarification. I think it's an important part of your proposal that was overlooked. I have no comments. I find the project acceptable in its presented form.
Thank you. Member Clinton.
Can we go to the picture of the pole sign? Yeah, that one. That's the one. Thank you. Okay. So this sign is here already. Am I correct?
Yes, that sign exists. If you go to page 11, you can see the sign as it exists today.
And the, okay, can we go away from the shell and back to the, thank you. Can we just zoom in on the top part of the sign? This is totally a design idea. I'm not gonna hold up the project, but that seems like a lot of white around the sort of the very small Fuel Depot sort of situation. And that's gonna cause much more illumination at night and other things. Was that on purpose to make it that small? It seems like you would have maybe just increased.
Yeah, blue. This is part of the, so the original application was for digital signage on the pole and on the ground signs. And the Fuel Depot on that proposal is moved way up to the top. There's no white space. It's just Fuel Depot and then a larger price portion of the sign. When we were told, you know, pretty late in the process that there'd been this rule change regarding digital signage, you know, the plan is to eventually get the digital signs permitted. So this would be a temporary fix to, you know, have the Fuel Depot sign basically using the same layout as the existing Shell sign, rather than completely retool it twice and have to make.
So your idea is that when you get the digital signage, you intend to move the Fuel Depot up to just that top little corner.
Yep.
And then
sure,
the other parts of the sign would increase in size. The height of the letters, the gasoline, the propane sign would all increase in size.
Christina, I don't know if you, do you have the version that I sent over that has that layout? There we go. So that basically, that's how it would be if we did digital.
And what size are the heights of those numbers?
I think we're at 12 inches on those.
12 inches? Is that what's happening there right now? Or is 12 inches what everybody else has? Or are you guys going to be just a little bit bigger?
There right now is 12 inches, and that's pretty consistent with the other gas stations in the area. This version shown is the manual version that, you know, would be impractical to install if we were to then install digital at a later stage. So the proposal we're going with is the Fuel Depot in the same section as the Shell sign.
So would you consider this? If we could approve the signs, I think the signs along the banister, what is that called? The
canopy.
Canopy. And for your auto mechanic signs, I think they're all fine. Is there any way we could just say, let's approve the signs that, maybe this is a question for staff.
I think it's staff, yes.
Can we approve the sign, you know, the signs that are all okay and leave these ones that are sort of silly questions off for another day?
I'll chime in, Member Clinton. I believe the owner would like to have this approved so he can get, you know, his signs installed. We don't know if the digital electronic changeable copy would be, if they, either they apply for a major conditional use permit or if the code does change. So I think in the interim, this is what the applicant would like to get approved. And otherwise they can't put up, you know, it'll remain as a Shell sign.
Well, my contract with Shell is up in 45 days. I have no choice. The Shell signs are coming down in 45 days. So, and I missed the last meeting because there was no quorum. So now I'm really behind the eight ball. If I'm going to be debranded with Shell in 45 days, to get this all done in 45 days, it's gonna be tough.
That was my suggestion, is that we approve the signs that we can all agree on that are fairly minimal, small changes. And then the propane sign maybe can wait. I mean, is he gonna make a temporary sign that looks like this? I would not recommend that. You know, there's gotta be something else. So. Can we do it with like approval with some people checking over, like Dennis, maybe if you would be willing to?
Member Clinton, what propane sign are you speaking of?
This one, this
I see.
Because we're all kind of concerned about somebody going up there every day and changing those letters.
That's what's being proposed right now. So
can we approve the other sign to get them going on that? And then this one maybe can be like conformance review by a board member like Dennis, perhaps?
Are you talking
about this?
No, that's not a conformance review. That's a complete code change or a conditional use permit, the way the code is written right now. So what's before you, because the applicant understands that the last one, with the changeable copy cannot be approved right now, not at this level.
Muted yourself.
I'm sorry, I was muted speaking about that. Member Clinton, so this is what's before you right now. The other sign that you're speaking of is not approvable with the board. Right, so the whole package includes all the canopy signs, this sign as in front of you, and also the ground mounted sign that is manually changeable. That's what's before you right now.
Okay, then I apologize. I have no more further comments or questions.
Thank you. Member Whalen?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. If Member Clinton's concerned, could you go back to the pole sign, please, in the proposed form? If Member Clinton's concern is the area of white background, could that not just be the dark blue background as is done on the canopy? To move this along.
I believe that's possible, John.
Yeah, I don't think I have a problem with that. I hopefully it's temporary anyhow, so.
Exactly.
Okay, so when we see a motion, the maker of the motion can have those as an approvable comment.
I will.
Thank you. So that leaves just me. I don't have any questions other than the ones asked at the beginning. I shared the concern about the white negative space there, and one thought that occurred to me is I don't know if the logo could be a stacked square, more squared off logo with fuel above and depot below, perhaps, to sort of fill that space. But I'm sure there's artwork concerns, and you know, it's a logo that's in sort of recognizable. So it sounds like you've addressed that with just filling the space with blue.
About the only option.
Okay. So otherwise, it's basically a like for like project, and I have no objections. So with that, I think I'm looking for a motion.
Sure, I'd be happy to make a motion to approve the project as proposed, with the one exception that the existing pole sign proposal have no exposed illuminated white and be solid blue background.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, I'll call for a roll call vote.
Member Clinton? Member Clinton?
Oh. Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. And I will step back down and oh, please.
Go ahead. Could I get everybody's feedback on the digital, their feeling on the digital? I've heard a because this will be coming up again. So I'd like to get everybody's feedback. Every other station out there in the corner, except for the Chevron, has the digital. I feel we're going to prevail with getting a cleanup at the city council on this. Again, Barbara Massey and Cecilia Brown both have said that was not their intent, because this is not movable sign. This is not a movable sign. So if you don't mind, I'd like to get everybody's comment on digital.
We're happy to do it, John. I just think I don't know if we can do that under this agenda item. Mary, I'd like to get your input on, should we do this as part of a new business straw poll, or?
That item, the subject is not before you for consideration, and when Price wants to come back, it would be just simply, revisiting those two signs, and we would just bring that back at that time for consideration.
Well, I, as far as any kind of immediate feedback, though, I think this was discussed at previous DRBs and was even approved. I don't know that the board as a board has any objection to, the concept of a digital. But that's just past, case history, I guess. So, if that's useful feedback, hopefully it is, but I don't know.
It is. I was just looking for a straw vote to get everybody's opinion, Craig. That's all I was doing. So now I waited till after the vote to just ask. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Item B2.
Item B2 is SB Motorsports signage located at 6466 Hollister Avenue, APN 0730700035, case number 21-0019-DRB and 21-0051-ZC.
Okay, has everybody visited the site, Jonathan?
I have driven by and have not had any ex parte communications.
Very good, Karis?
Virtual site visit, no.
Very good. Craig?
I've been through many times as well, and no ex parte.
Martha?
Site visit and no ex parte.
Jim?
I've been by the site, but I've had no conversations.
Very good. I very familiar with the site, and did a virtual site visit and no ex parte. Dennis?
Same for me, virtual and physical site visit with no ex parte discussions.
Okay, very good. Travis, the floor is yours.
Hello everyone, I'm just gonna share my screen so I can see the plans. One moment, please. There we go. Okay, can everyone see the plans before you for yes. Santa Barbara Motorsports? Okay, thanks. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. My name is Travis Lee, and I'm a planner for the City of Goleta. And the project before you today is the SB Motorsports signage change at 6466 Hollister Ave. The applicant proposes two new wall signs and refacing of an existing legal non-conforming freestanding pole sign on Hollister Ave. While pole signs are prohibited, according to Title 17, the existing pole sign on Hollister was legally permitted by the county prior to the City of Goleta's incorporation and before Title 17 took effect. Wall signs, the project proposes two wall signs where Title 17 requires that they do not exceed the height of the wall to which they are attached. And as such, these two wall signs comply with Title 17. I should note that the Title 17 also requires that the total square footage of signage should not exceed the linear street frontage along Hollister Ave. And the current square footage calculation total is approximately less than 1 square foot more than the lineal square footage along Hollister Ave. So the sign, one of the signs will have to be shaved off a little bit. In the staff report, I listed some general plan policies that signage should adhere to for your consideration. If you have any further questions, staff is available for questions and comments, and the applicant is also here, Nick from Goleta Signs. Thank you.
Travis, can you show the other plans as well? Do you have the one with the pole sign?
Sorry, I wasn't scrolling through the while I was talking.
All right, do we have the applicant here?
Chair Branch, my understanding was that the applicant was on, but we do not see him right now. So I don't know if you want to have some questions, comments towards staff and then see if he gets back on.
Well, let's start with, is there any public comment on this, Linda?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the raise hand icon now? No, Chair Branch, there's no one that wishes to speak.
Okay, still no applicant.
I'm here.
Okay, very good.
Hello all. How are you? Is everyone doing?
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Travis covered everything. So there are the three signs. We're doing the reface of the pole monument sign, and that is, notice and state on the plans, that is internally illuminated for fluorescent lights that are existing. I know you guys like LEDs, so we could change that to LEDs if that is decided amongst y'all. And Travis, you mentioned that would need to shave off a little bit of the signage, I believe.
Yeah, it's the total area is less than 1 foot over the allotment.
Oh, okay. So it's,
yeah,
a
so it's like, okay. Somewhere it's like, it's very small, so.
Yeah, I can do that on the MDO sign. So the front sign, if we go to the page 2 site plan, the wall sign is the main entrance sign. And that is a half inch MDO with matte lamination, and that is facing a parking lot. And that's what the customer decided he wanted to do for that sign. And then maybe in the future, potentially do an individual illuminated letter. But for now, he wanted to go with this as that was in his budget. And then we have the wall sign, which is facing Hollister South. And that is a PVC, non-illuminated. And that's going to be 1 inch, quarter inch standoff, pin mounted letters. Perfect. And the max letter heights are within the Goleta codes, I believe they should be. And then we have, and that's gonna be quarter inch standoff, pin mounted, individually painted. And then we have that monument sign, which is currently in quite rough condition. I believe that he just has some banners hanging in there right now. And so he was looking to have that whole face change. It's going to be, you know, the 1/8 inch acrylic panels. I believe there's 6 separate panels that are broken up and then slid into place. It's gonna be a translucent vinyl. So the white is gonna be the translucent. Daytime, it'll appear white. Nighttime, when it's illuminated, it'll show up bright white. And it's going to be matte lamination on that.
And the box is going to be redone.
clean up.
Yeah, we're gonna clean up the box.
Paint it.
Yeah. Any questions?
Is the red going to be translucent or opaque?
It's gonna be translucent. Excuse me, the white is gonna be opaque, the red is translucent. The light is not going to be coming through. Or wait.
Yes, it's translucent vinyl.
Okay, so it's translucent vinyl. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
At nighttime, if it lights up.
We'll so at nighttime, we're going to see the black will not have light come through. All the white will have light come through. I'm trying to ascertain whether or not the red will.
The white, red. And then the white is going to have light come through as well. That is correct.
So the red will be perceived as red, not black at nighttime when it's
right. Correct. Correct. Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anything else?
As far as my end, that's pretty much it. It's rather straightforward.
Okay.
Any other comments?
All right. Very good. Then we'll go to questions from the board. Who's up there first? Dennis?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Branch. Mr. Lee, first to you. I'm a bit confused about which sign is it that needs to be reduced a small amount, or are you talking about the total area of all three signs, actually four?
Member Whalen, through the chair, the total square footage needs to be reduced less than a foot, since the Title 17 allows 1 square foot per lineal foot of street frontage.
I understand all of that complicated, but are you talking about the total of all four signs area, or just one sign out of the four?
This is two.
It's up to their discretion to choose which one to meet so the requirements. So they can pick however area. They want.
So it's a total area that is over, and they can reduce it any way they want.
Correct.
Okay. And that has yet to happen.
No, it's less than a foot over the limit.
Yeah. Well, it would be helpful if the proponent could outline how they intend to address that or ask for a variance. And then my second question is, there are two wall signs. One has a white background out of MDF, and the other is just mounted on the wall. Why the difference? Why not just the same?
Because individual letter, tell them.
All right, I'm here. So the digital print on top of the MDO, that is a cheaper option our client, and a more temporary option our client wanted to go with on the entrance. And the other one, the individual, that typically those individual letters do not have a backer. And the building is a cream color, so you're able to it still has quite a bit of contrast coming out from the wall. Also, it was just
also the gym has the individual letters.
You can talk to them.
Oh, also the gym next door, Goleta Valley Gym, has that individually letters as well, so it kind of matches them.
Yeah, that's what he actually referenced their sign. He said, I want something like theirs. So that's why we went with that design as well, instead of, per se having a metal backer.
I see.
Yeah, and I think it looks a little bit cleaner on the building, not having a white box around it, even though there is a white box around the other logos. That's so
in the parking lot.
Yeah. He just,
Mr. Lee, if you're in control, can you zoom in to that? No, the one we're talking about, the middle center, lower. Can you zoom in on that image, please? That's the one we're talking about. Much better. Can you tell me what is that in the upper left-hand corner of the elevation? Is it a light fixture or a scupper?
I think that's the address number. Yeah. Address number.
Address number. All right. And it looks like there's a downspout scupper below it. All right. Thank you. Those are my questions, Chair Branch.
All right, very good. Jonathan, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Okay. Jim, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Martha?
I have no questions.
Karis?
I have only one question. Would they be willing to reduce the size of the sign just a little bit so that it fit with a bit of a white border around the edge?
Which sign? The one we've been talking about, the individual.
Two on the left.
The individual letters, I'm sorry, or the main front sign?
Well, if you look at the lower left corner one, you see mm-hmm. how it's almost pushing the edges a little bit. I would say bring it in and frame it with a bit of white.
The artwork actually is framed. It's framed better than these mock-ups, if I'm being honest. It is it's all proportional, and I bring it in by, I think, about 4 inches. I'm bringing it on the artwork because when we send it to production, there's a 2-inch lip on top and bottom, but then I believe it there's about 2 inches before the red line and on each side of it.
Perhaps 2 inches in this mock-up. You know, 2 inches is just not quite enough. Like just a border of white around the edge, which would decrease your signage entirely, right? And then you wouldn't have to ask for a variance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We could approve it right now if you would agree to perhaps just decreasing just ever so slightly the sign of the sign so that there's a little white border around the edge.
Perfect, but let's do it.
2 inches is maybe just a bit small.
Okay, how much?
Nice white border around the edge. Look at, can you see my screen? Is the yellow border around the edge?
Mm-hmm.
That.
Okay, yes, we can do that.
And then on the wall sign where the palm tree is down the lower right hand side, the red part, what is that? Is that spray paint? What is that?
That's his logo.
That's the PVC, that 1-inch quarter, the 1-inch thick 1/4-inch pin mounted PVC letters. That's his logo. Yeah.
The red.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay.
It looked like it was spray paint. I wouldn't recommend spray paint.
Yeah. Definitely.
If they're logo letters, that's fine. So that would be my only recommendation. And I think I could support the project as long as, you know, there was a little bit of reduction, then we wouldn't have to ask for a variance and we could all agree on it today.
Cool. And I will, I'll reduce the size a little bit so it meets that, the total square footage, and then I will also add that white border in, and I will send those updated plans over to Travis.
And can we get staff conformance on that?
Well, we're not there yet, Karis.
Oh, sorry.
That's a good idea, but we're not there yet. Mary?
Chair Branch, I need to clarify that it's a good suggestion that Member Clinton has, but reducing or increasing the border does not reduce the size of the sign. The sign is what the square footage is the physical sign itself. So they would need to reduce somewhere else. And I believe I heard the applicant say that there's a wall sign they can reduce by less than a foot. I don't think that they would want to go the variance process.
Right, right. The wall, either the wall signs you can reduce to meet your compliance. So resuming to questions, Craig.
No questions or comments.
No questions or comments. Okay. I don't have any questions, but I guess I'll start. I'll throw out the comment that it seems like on the pin mounted logo letters and logo on the Hollister side, it might behoove you to actually go back to the photo sim we were just looking at. If you zoom in to that Hollister image, it might behoove you to fill in the SBM with white.
I like that.
It looks like it gets a little lost with the background of the building, even though the building's a lighter color. Rather than having the SBM being just, you know, completely see-through, maybe if those were white and then the whole rest of the thing were red, I think that might stand out a little bit more.
Sure.
Is probably my only comment. All right, comments, Dennis?
The only comment I have is on this particular sign, I think it looks awkward. And I would like to see a revised location so that it is more carefully fit on the second story or upper panel, perhaps left justified. Doesn't have to be centered. It could be a little smaller and say 2/3 of the way up that second story. It just looks very awkward. I think the red SBM could have a lot more visual impact if it were left justified closer to the edge. And I'm not implying that the building number should move, that this sign, but that one sign should snuggle itself in there a little more artistically. Thank you.
So maybe like left justified beneath the address letters?
Yes, between there and the scupper, looks like a downspout.
Yeah.
And there, and perhaps a little smaller, it looks like it'll fit, but perhaps this is where they can make up their 1 square foot over the limit. Thank you.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. Let's see, Martha?
Yeah, so one, I agree with Member Clinton about reducing the format of the pole sign so that it has more open space or negative space around the outside. And then would Mr. Lee please zoom out on the image that he's showing on his screen right now? I was just going to notice that, and despite maybe what Member Whalen said, that palm tree is going to grow, and I think somehow a bit obscure that that sign as that tree grows. So I think moving it over to the left would make a lot of sense. And I agree with the white background in that sign. And I'm just have to, although you're not here for this, bemoan the lack of landscaping in front of this building. I think it's really looks quite bereft with the condition of just the dirt and mulch landscape in front. I know you're not here but I just have to throw that in. Other than that, I think the design of the signs fine.
Okay. Jim, do you have any comments?
No comments, no questions.
Okay. And Jonathan, you said you didn't have any comments?
No comments, thank you.
Who am I missing? Craig, did I get you?
Yeah, no comments, thanks.
Okay. So I guess a question for the applicant, which sign do you propose to reduce?
We're going to reduce the wood sign in the parking lot.
Are you amenable to moving the Hollister sign?
The Hollister sign is... it's really on the street itself. It's about 20 feet from the street.
It's 60 feet.
60 feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 60 feet from the street. So we kind of zoomed in. You can see it's big. But from the street itself, it's not that big. And also, again, the tree is going to grow and you're not going to see the sign. And also, he's going to redo the landscaping as well. And I'm not sure.
But are you okay with moving it over to the left like was suggested?
We need to honestly reach out to our client, because his thing is he wanted it up as high as possible.
Yeah.
Because of how far away it is from the street. So we can approach him with that and then see what he says. I mean, I don't think moving it over, in my opinion, like.
How much over? 12 inches?
No, they want to.
No, directly line it up.
Below the address.
With the address and go beneath the address. So you'd effectively be lowering it, I don't know, a foot or something, or a couple of feet. I mean, it's not. Doesn't seem to be a big deal.
Underneath? What if they just go over all the way to the duck? Like, they keep it at the same height, because that's what he's looking for. But if they switch it over by the number, so the palm tree grows up and then doesn't inhibit the sign.
That's an idea too. That's not what Dennis described, but that's an idea too. All right, so with that, I guess we probably need to take a second look at it with them studying the location of that sign and seeing the resized rear sign and the border. I guess the border change enhancement on the pole sign. So.
Do you need a motion, Chair Branch?
Yep.
I'll be happy to make a motion that this project be continued and return with a border around the monument sign and a repositioning of the sign on the Hollister Avenue side. That would be, let's see, farther to the west and lower, so that it not be obscured by the maturing palm tree and look more a part of the design of the building.
What's the recommendation for landscaping?
Not a part of the proposal.
Chair Branch, can we have Member Whalen continue to a date certain? The next meeting would be April 12th.
April 12th meeting would be fine, Ms. Chang.
Okay. Can I get a second for that?
I second it.
Seconded by Member Iman. Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please, Linda.
Member Clinton.
Aye.
Member DeGasis.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member King.
Aye.
Member Whalen.
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger.
Aye.
Chair Branch.
Aye. All right. Very good. We'll see you at our next meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much for you guys' time.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. All right. That will take us to our next item, B3. Linda.
Item B3 is an overall sign plan for a village at Los Caneros, located at 6720 Cali Corral and 35 Compass Lane and 10 Longshore Place, APNs 073-780-036, 073-330-032, and 073-330-036, case number 21-0008-DRB.
Very good. Okay, declarations, Martha?
Virtual site visit and no ex parte.
Craig?
I visited the same. Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Jim?
I visited the site twice and I've spoken with no one.
Okay, you might want to turn your speakers down. Jonathan?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
And let's see, Karis?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Dennis?
Physical and virtual site visits with no parte discussions.
And I had virtual site visit and no ex parte discussions. Daryl, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair, members of the DRB. Good to see everyone. I'll share my screen here. Just to briefly reiterate, this is overall sign plan for Village at Los Caneros. The DRB did review this project on June 8th, 2021, and at that time did continue the item with proposed revisions. Brief background, Village at Los Caneros is roughly 43 acres in size with five total lots with 465 single and multifamily units. The applicants proposed an overall sign plan really just for three freestanding signs at the corner of Los Caneros and Calle Real. At the corner of Los Caneros and Calle Real to the north, and as well as the corner of Longshore Place and Calle Corral. I'll have the applicant go into the three different proposals of the freestanding sign. First, however, I do want to communicate the summary of the motion that occurred last time. That occurred on June 8th. At that time, the DRB did approve a motion, one for one saying that the Casas de Los Caneros apartment sign was proposed, as proposed, was fine. Secondly, that the arrive sign should comply with the 4-foot height limit, perhaps eliminating the O. That the arrive sign should be dark sky compliant, and the address on the arrive sign should be a larger font and more prominently displayed. And as a reminder, our zoning ordinance does allow freestanding signs up to 6 feet, but only with the approval from the design review board. So per the ordinance, freestanding signs are only allowed to be 4 feet. However, up to 6 feet with the DRB review and approval. With that, we do have the applicant online here. His name is Ryan Ibarra. Ryan, are you there?
I am here.
Great. I'll just have you, you know, communicate your proposal to the board and just kind of let me know what pages you want.
Okay. Let's see. Our first sign that we could start with would be on page 8. I think that's 7. I think your document might be a little different than mine there.
This is sign number one.
Sign number one.
Mm-hmm. So this would be the corner of, this would be the corner of Los Caneros and Calle Real to the south.
Perfect. And that sign, I noticed right now, it's different than the document I'm looking at. It's actually missing the length, which is 5 feet in length. So this is our proposed monument. It's different from the one we originally proposed. I don't know if anyone really remembers, it was quite a while ago, but they had a circle or like a O right on top of it, part of their logo. So we did remove that per the recommendation. And we did, I believe, make the we widened the arrive to. It was a little smaller, so we expanded it a little bit. So this sign's pretty straightforward. And then the second sign after this is identical, but a little bit larger. This and that sign would be the sign that is exceeding the 4 feet. I believe staff was okay with if we stayed under that 6 foot, as long as we got rid of the O, because the O did extend a little bit above that 6 foot. And these are face lit illuminate, but the face of the letters are opaque. So it's a halo lit, so it would only illuminate from the sides, which I believe there should be a night illumination in this package as well. There we are.
And just to clarify for the board, this is the freestanding sign number 2 on the corner of Los Caneros and Calle Corral to the north. Both freestanding sign number 1 and sign number two are do exceed the 4 feet in height criteria. Sign number one is 4 feet 8 inches, and sign number two would be 5 feet 5 inches. Back to you, Ryan.
You're correct. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Daryl. That's right. And then our last sign would be, so this sign was actually going to be exterior illuminated, but they decided not to move forward with any type of illumination. So this sign is going to be completely non-illuminated. And I believe that was the only comment on this sign last time. It was just to figure out the illumination. And I think they couldn't come to something that they wanted to move forward with. So they decided no illumination.
Okay.
Any questions that I can take from anybody?
We shall see. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Okay. Questions for the applicant? Martha?
I have a question on the arrive sign, the larger of the two arrive signs. What is the purpose of that curved panel in the back or the rear, if you will, of that larger sign?
I believe it was part of just to give the sign a little bit more transparency with the colors. I think if they were to lose that, they'd probably, the design would be different. I think it gives the sign kind of balance.
Do you have an elevation of that rear, if you will, or is it hidden by vegetation? It seems like it might look a little. The sign is not two-sided, is that correct?
That's correct, it's only one-sided.
So what does that look like from the back, and what is that material?
It's aluminum.
It's anodized or painted or?
Painted.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have that elevation?
I don't have, like, you want an elevation from the back or an elevation of where it would be?
From the back, what does it look like from the back, and would one see the back?
From this one, I believe you would not see the back from the street. I believe that if there is vegetation in that area, I believe we do have the vegetation plan on here and the tree plan.
Yeah, it looks as if she has some tall flax plants behind it, so maybe it's just fine. I mean, it seems like you'll be looking at it from some degree from the sidewalk and the parking lot. That is all I have for questions.
Okay. Dennis?
No questions.
Karis?
No question.
Okay. Jonathan?
He answered my question about illumination on that third sign, so nothing to ask now.
Okay. Jim?
No questions. No questions.
Okay. Craig?
No questions.
Okay, great. Then let's go to comments. We'll go reverse order. Craig.
Oh, good. Actually, I guess I do have a question. I never really understood the necessity of these monument signs at residential locations as a concept. I mean, you know, everywhere I've lived in my life, I've always known where to go to get home. So, I mean, how did I do that without a monument sign in front of where I lived? I mean, why do we need these, I guess, is the question.
Well, in this area, there's three different apartments. So if you, let's say you invite somebody over, you just say, hey, I'm the apartment on the corner. If they have signage, they can get somebody there. And if you're thinking at from a business standpoint, you would like to have signage so people can know who you are and you want to identify your business. It's basically having a business without a sign.
Yeah, I understand. I guess, you know, I think about the development pattern in Goleta, you know, the Elwood apartments there over there, to Elwood and Matilda, those have been in existence for 50, 60 years. And somehow people find a way to get to their house without a monument sign out front on Hollister. So I don't know. I guess it's an allowable use from a planning perspective. So if the property owner wants to do it, they can, but I don't really see the necessity for them in the first place. So I don't really support them, but if it's within the conformance of the ordinances and as far as the aesthetics, there, as far as a fine sign goes, they all seem fine aesthetically. So I wouldn't oppose it as a, you know, a member of a board here that's linked to ordinances, but I guess just conceptually, I don't see the need for these. And that's my only comment.
Okay, Martha?
Have any comments other than I don't see the necessity for that curved aluminum panel. Other than that, I mean, I don't think that's a approval breaker, but that would be my only comment.
Very good. Dennis?
I would agree with Member DeGasis and Schallenberger on their points. I find the project proposal acceptable, and I appreciate their eliminating the lighting from the Casa Los Carneros sign. Hooray, hooray. Even if we have to have a sign, at least it isn't illuminated. And I really appreciate their reducing and eliminating the O from the other sign. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Jim, any comments? Jim, can you hear me? Okay, we'll come back to him. Karis, any comments?
I would just like to back up the other members' comments about it's really necessary to have solar signs. People who live there, they know they live there. Maybe we can reduce it down, but I'm not going to stand in the way. If you want to build a sign, you build your sign. And I think Martha has a good point about what is the purpose of the thing behind. Things like people might be coming and going, and you know, flags sometimes you got to turn them back, so you might see some of that. And I wouldn't want to waste it. That's one of the comments to back up what everybody else has said.
Okay, let's see. Anybody else? Jonathan?
I'd just like to say that I do actually like the idea of the signs. It seems like it's a little bit of an anchor point for perhaps some sense of community. And I think that's a thing that we might want to encourage, where people are gaining a little bit more of an identity to their neighborhood, rather than just being discrete individuals coming and going without any sense of belonging. Overall, I do appreciate the changes that Member Whalen highlighted, the removal of the lighting on the third sign, and the reduction, the elimination of that the superfluous O that I think we all were glad to see planned out of the new version. Thank you for working on those issues.
Great. Jim, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, any comments?
No comments.
Okay. Mary, I saw your hand.
Yeah, Chair Branch, if we could have, Daryl, could you put the photo, put the plan on the sign that Member DeGaces is talking about so that we understand her comment?
Sure. And Chair Branch, if I may, this development did include a condition of approval to have an overall sign plan to identify the development, which is also allowed in the Title 17 zoning ordinance.
Got it. Yeah, okay. My only comment is to echo Martha's. I don't understand that weird curved background, and I hope to heck there's something behind it. But because it's behind it, I guess I could live with it based on its location. But I don't get that. It looks like art for art's sake and doesn't really, I don't see its purpose. But again, it wouldn't be a deal killer for me. Let's see. Was there, Linda, any public comment?
Okay, would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the raise hand icon now? No, Chair Branch.
All right, well then with that, can I get someone to make a motion?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Chair Branch. I'll make motion to approve the project as proposed.
Can I get a second to that?
Second.
Seconded by Jim. Any discussion? Okay, Linda, roll call, please.
Member Clinton.
Aye.
Member DeGaces.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member King.
Aye.
Member Whalen.
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger.
Aye.
Chair Branch.
Aye. All right, thank you very much. And that will take us to our final item, B4. Linda?
Item B4 is the Takamaya Infinity and Spa, located at 900 Cambridge Drive, APN 069-020-048. And it's case number 22-0002-DRB.
Okay, declarations. Has anybody visited this? Everybody visited the site and spoken to anybody? Jim?
I visited the site twice, but I've had no comments and no dialogue with anyone.
Okay, great. Dennis?
I've made a virtual site visit for this issue and visited the site previously for approvals and had no ex parte discussions.
Great. Craig?
No new site visits since this development was done, but virtual and no ex parte.
Jonathan?
No site visit and no ex parte.
Martha?
Virtual site visit and no ex parte.
Karis?
I've had many, I've driven in there, so I haven't had a new site visit. That's the last time that this came before the board, but also I did do a virtual visit and no ex parte. Thank you.
Very good. I had virtual site visit and no ex parte communications. Daryl, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair, members of the DRB. This is at 900 Cambridge Drive. DRB is familiar with this development. For those who are still here, this is at Takemiya Infinity Pool and Spa. And today the applicant's requesting a swimming pool and spa, roughly 525 square feet, situated at the eastern portion of the slope lot. In terms of conformance with the zoning ordinance, it does conform currently in terms of setbacks. Pools are allowed in the rear yard setback. It just have to be 5 feet away from the property lines, as well as the associated pool equipment. The applicant's also proposing landscaping, in this case, two new oak trees to assist in screening the pool from adjacent neighbors. We did receive public comment on this project last night from an adjacent property owner, which I do want to comment on briefly and communicate the exceptions that the adjacent property owner does have. The DRB should have received this in their packet this morning. If not, I'll do a brief summary right now. The first exception was the visual mass of the east facing walls of the pool and the catch basin. The neighbor is asking for the applicant to retake a look at that. Also is asking that noise be mitigated from the pool equipment. Is asking that the applicant mitigate the proposed reduction of the skyline light available to downhill neighbors. Is asking that the applicant mitigate risk of water sheet flow from the proposed pool. And is lastly is asking the applicant to mitigate risk of lateral movement of the structure itself. The DRB's purview is of course design related. In terms of structural or geotechnical questions, obviously this project will go before the building division. At that time, building division plan checkers will review the project and review any geotechnical and structural reports. Regarding noise, the zoning ordinance does have noise criteria, which they will have to meet. In this case, pool equipment cannot exceed 60 dBA from the unit itself. We do not calculate dBA from property lines. It's solely from the unit itself. With that, in response to this letter, the applicants actually submitted revised drawings to staff roughly 3 hours ago. I do have those plans. So, Chair, if you want, I can bring those plans up. Feel free to just tell me when.
I think it would be smart to have the current plans of what they're proposing, and I would encourage the applicant to describe what they did differently on plans we'll be looking at versus what we saw in our packet.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll bring the most recent plans up. So the applicant is Ken DeLunas. Are you there, Ken?
Yes, I am.
Great. Feel free to proceed.
Daryl, okay. Daryl, I think it would be helpful to put up the elevation.
In the section.
I think you want to go to page number 2. Thank you.
Okay, proceed.
Okay, well, thank you for the opportunity. We actually met with Mr. and Mrs. Dick, and they're the ones that submitted the response, the letter this morning. And One of the things that they requested is I think one of the main issues was the screening and the type of tree that we were going to implant behind the pool to screen it. And they preferred an olive tree and instead of an oak tree, a box tree. And so we changed the plan to reflect that. They also requested that the screening be added right at the back of the pool base because the entire pool is not raised 8 feet above the ground, but the corner is as the ground slope changes. And so we added a screening right behind that pool wall, like they asked. They requested the pool equipment be moved to the north about 6 feet because they feel like there's kind of a noise path in the back there. And so we did. We moved it further to the north away from the pool. They had a concern about having the water pumped out down the back hill. And so we made a notation on the plan that the water needs to be pumped out of the pool, which it always is. We don't let the drain open up and just go. We use a submersible pump and run a line up to the street so that the water can go into the desired water drainage area headed down the hill. And then I think one of the last things that they were concerned about is this type of construction generally has an observation drain pipe underneath the pool. And the intent is for that drain pipe to be able to see if there's ever any seepage or leak under the pool without anybody ever seeing it so that it could be checked out. That's the whole, it's entirely for a precaution. And those lines don't drain water out. You have a line that sweeps up so that you can stick either a stick down there or a submersible pump and make sure there's no water in there from time to time. It's more of an observation than it is to allow any of the pool to drain down the hill. So they're concerned about where that drainage would go into proper catch basin or whatever. But in reality, they don't drain water. They sweep up to the surface and then you measure if there's any water accumulating in there so you know whether you need to deal with the problem or not for the future. So that summarizes basically all of the concerns that they had so that we could address them as they wished. And they're very nice when we met with them. And I explained to them that the caisson design of this pool is the same one as two lots away that we built on 1040 Cambridge. And that pool is on the same engineering design for the same type of soil. And that pool is a double infinity edge and it hasn't even moved a quarter of an inch in elevation in 2 years. So the design for lateral movement control is well done by the engineering plan that we implemented. And essentially we would once approve for this pool as well.
Okay, why don't you run us through, so that kind of addresses what you did to these current plans to address their concerns. Now, why don't you walk us through the design proposal?
The design proposal is for a one-sided infinity pool with the spa inside, which has an in-ground electric cover. And basically it's at about as low of an elevation as they could make it come off of the house. It's not raised out of the ground. You could see where the elevation is about even with the grade. And then it's basically set up with I think it has 18 caissons at varying depth, And that's spelled out by the soils and the structural engineer design. That's what it's determined by. And there is a catch basin that is below the pool that drops about 2.5 feet to catch the water. And then the pool equipment is further down the hill, but it has a block wall all the way around it. And so the chance for noise to escape is not going to be that great. The pump does have a decibel rating for above the limit at 3,450 RPMs, but this pump is by the Title 24 is going to be running at approximately 2,800 RPMs, so that the noise level is going to be significantly lower than the standard. So it has pool cover for safety, along with door alarms on the house, and it's well screened. In fact, the screening is already planted along the property line.
You want me to explain the visual study?
Yeah, explain the visual, Robert.
All right,
please.
Hi, my name is Robert. I'm a landscape architect. So I developed this visual study for them because there was concern generated from the neighbor. So above the elevation that you see here, the section through the site, if you zoom up on this sheet, I got the topo information from the county. If you can go up on to the plan view above, that'd be great. So we located the neighbor that was concerned on there, and then located the elevation of the pool and the residence and the existing planting, and then developed that cross section that you see underneath it just to get an understanding of the visibility of this pool. And if you could zoom out on the sheet, it might be helpful to reference the photographs that are on the right hand side. So that top right photograph is taken from where you see the letter A located on the north side of the pool. And that's from the elevation of the corner of the pool. The photograph underneath it, B, is taken from the south corner of the pool. And so we're looking down on the neighbor that was concerned about it. There, as you can see there, there's mature, well, it's not mature, but there's screening that's been growing there for probably 8 years or something. And it's Podocarpus gracilior and a mix of toyon, and there's an oak tree. So there's already some mature planting there that will continue to grow and effectuate screening in the future. We initially proposed to put another oak tree, but the neighbor shared concern about that, about the oak tree taking up too much light. So they proposed that they wanted an olive. So we substituted the new oak tree for an olive, and then also proposed to put in new screening at the base of the basin, which is to put a few options of pittosporum, ficus green gem, or toyon. So I think that with the existing planting and the proposed planting and the site section that's shown here, you know, the client here is offering to screen this pool with, you know, every option available. And also, there's very little visibility of it just generated based on what I could establish from on site. So if you have questions about how this was put together, I'm happy to answer it.
Do you have any elevations of the exposed portion of the pool?
Yes, there is one picture. Which one? Which page is that on? It's right up there.
If you go to the previous sheet, first sheet, the top left is a cross section of how that pool sits into the existing slope.
What's the finish that would be on the concrete?
It's going to be stone, natural stone, to match the terrain.
Do you know what kind of stone you're proposing?
Cherokee.
And there would be planting in front of this basin here based on our changes to the plan. Mm-hmm. So.
Got it. Okay.
feet, like 8 feet of wall.
Okay, anything else?
I think that's presentation, and happy to answer any questions you might have.
Sure.
Okay, cool, thank you. Let's proceed with questions. Let's see, Karis?
You want to start with me?
Well, you were first. You were first in order.
I think that you guys can do better. I think that an engineering solution that says that you build an 8-foot wall with no buttresses, with no kind of any type of gradation from 8 feet to down to where people are actually being affected by what you're doing, that's hard for me to accept. I would prefer if you would consider doing more of a gradated, you could have different plants at different levels and create sort of a buttressing system that comes down from the thing to anchor it back. If you go to this elevation, this pool elevation right here, you have more than 50% of your pool over the edge. And for the person who's living just underneath that, when the soil gets saturated, it wants to move. It wants to move quick. So you have to make sure that your engineering pushes the pool back into the hillside, as opposed to sliding. There's another picture.
We have to assume, for the purpose of this, that the engineering will be sound, because that's under the jurisdiction of the building department. We're looking at it from an aesthetic point of view.
Of the viewpoint of the neighbor sitting on his porch.
I don't see anything.
Page 5, I think. The point being is that if it is slough soil, if the engineering is not quite right, which they sort of suggested, then what you would want to do is sort of buttress the wall. You understand? To shore it up and move. I appreciate that you guys moved the pool equipment so it's not so loud to the neighbors. I appreciate that. 23 podocarpus is a lot. That's a lot of a type of plant that might not help in this situation. If you created sort of buttresses that were coming out from there, then you would reduce any chance of a landslide or anything happening with your pool, and it would screen it very nicely for the people who live near you. You would screen the noise, you would screen the people who are enjoying the pool. So I like the idea of using oaks because they're phreatophytes. There's also ceanothus, toyon. They're good phreatophytes which dig very deep down into the soil and hold it and protect the neighbors and reduce the sound from your dig. I sort of combined questions and comments, but that's my idea.
Okay, thank you.
Can we respond to Karis, or when? We have like a rebuttal, or
well, we're gonna go. Yeah, you're gonna get to respond. Let us go through this. You can respond to lots of stuff. So don't worry, I'll come back to you. Dennis.
Yes, a question. I was a bit confused by the observation drain pipe. Could you briefly go over that again? What it is, where it is, and how it's supposed to work.
Sure. So the pool structure holds it has shotcrete. It's made out of concrete, and it sits on top of all the caissons that go down, way down into the hillside. Underneath the pool structure, clear underneath the pool shell that holds the water, there is an observation drain pipe that's installed in gravel. So what happens is if the pool is ever leaking, that it's able to determine that water is leaking and it goes into that pipe, runs over to the side, and then there's a pipe going all the way to the surface that you could stick something down to see if there's water in it or not. If there's water in that pipe, then it indicates that there's water leaking by a fitting or whatever, seeping, and it directs you to, you know, you need to check the inside of the pool to make sure that something didn't crack or there's a problem in there.
So this pipe that's underneath the pool, is it perforated to allow water?
Yes.
I see.
Yeah. It's just like a drain, like a French drain.
Drain pipe. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And sometimes, engineers don't require them. And there are certain engineers that like to have them.
So
because you don't. Oh, sorry.
So the pipe doesn't really daylight anywhere. You have to look down a shaft or somehow like an oil dipstick to see if there's water in it. All right.
Yeah, that's correct.
That was neither here nor there. I just had never heard of that and understand the principle. Thank you. Can you tell us how deep the caissons are?
They range in depth from, I think the minimum is 14 feet. And remember, this is from the bottom of the pool. So that 14 feet would really be like 20 feet. And I think they go to approximately 36 feet. They go way down.
So from 14 to 36.
Yeah.
All right. Those are my questions. Thank you, Chair Branch.
Very good. Jim, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a couple. What is all of that dirt and heavy equipment on the side of the house?
Pardon me?
On the side of the house, there's a lot of heavy equipment, and there are piles of loam or dirt. What is the purpose of that?
Oh, the owner of the house is putting in some garden walls.
All right. Have you got any comment regarding the discrepancies in the project plan drawings concerning sheet 1-1, the visual study? They claim there's a scaling error of over 64%.
What is comment on that, Robert?
All I can comment on is that I don't know where this scaling error comes into. I mean, we're getting information that's from the county's topo. The client had a survey done of their property. So I overlaid their survey along with the county topo's information that gave approximate elevations and location of the neighboring property. You know, we didn't hire a
survey
down there. And I can't tell exactly where the toe of slope is, which is, I think, what they were identifying in that email. But the toe of that slope, as you can see in the cross section at the bottom, has no bearing on the visibility of the pool. So, you know, there might be some type of error on estimating where the toe of that slope is, but we were trying to generate an idea of what it is to look up into the property. So, and also I think in that email, there was some concern about where the topo came from. And so this topo was generated by the county, I believe, in the late 90s. So it's as current of information as is available in terms of what I could ascertain.
Can you make us feel comfortable in terms of mudslides or earthquakes in terms of how this is going to stand up?
Sure. The pool will actually anchor the hillside. We've installed a pool with this kind of substructure in places that were very, very unstable. And it anchors the hillside because the pool is actually built at a boat. It's not built to be held by the dirt. It's built to be held by the piers that are way down into the earth. And they have to be a minimum of 10 feet into native soil. And so, and the steel plan for those caissons has spiral steel with, I think it's six number fives or six number six pieces of vertical steel in each one of them. And you're talking about, I think 18 of those in this pool structure. So there's three rows of them going all the way across. That pool's not going to go anywhere. And if anything, the hillside will be more stable with the pool in it than it was without it.
And all the structural plans are reviewed by the city of Goleta or the county?
The Goleta Building Department.
So there's engineers that review the structural engineering of all these pools that are constructed. And, you know, it's one engineer checking on another engineer. I'm not sure if there's other engineers on this board, but there's people who are, you know, well-versed in the sizing of all these caissons that approve of the construction of it prior to it moving forward. So I think that this board should be limited on its evaluation of the aesthetics of the pool. Is that correct?
Yes, this is an aesthetic board. We have to assume that the structure is going to be analyzed by the building department, and any changes will be made, you know, there under their guise. So for example, Karis's suggestions of buttresses, we can't assume that's talking about engineering. We have to assume that she's saying that she wants to see, you know, an added mass to make it look like it's supporting it. But whether it's actually engineering is not our purview. Our purview is strictly aesthetic. So that's handled by the building department, the actual engineering side of it, if that answers your question.
Thank you.
So, okay, is that all your comments, Jim?
No.
Okay. All right, Martha?
I do have a few questions. Are we combining questions and comments then?
It's kind of morphed into that.
I'm confused from your section. I understand where the Butcher Takamaya's property line is. It's at the second hedge down slope. The intervening space between the Via Bolzano house, I'm unclear where the Via Bolzano property line is. Can you indicate that on the plans? Am I missing?
I believe that property, the property line abuts between the two. Is that correct?
Correct.
So the Via Bolzano property, they own what is that slope there that is between the two properties.
Then my second question is, this house is situated in a way that it's really quite challenging topographically. So as one exits the rear of the home, how did they approach the pool? Are you building a deck that isn't shown on these plans?
There are currently two decks on the back of the house, and they're going to come off of those two decks and go down to the level of the pool, which is like, thinking the decks are maybe 2 feet above the grade. So they'll come off of the decks and go onto the ground level, which is where the pool is.
Well, I noticed the pool's
built at the existing grade, and you walk down from the deck on a stairwell to the existing grade where the edge of the pool starts. So if you're asking if the pool is not above existing grade, it's
set. I understand that. Okay. It appears that the space between where you're proposing the pool and the existing paved, I nosed around online and saw some views of that in lieu of going to the rear yard. It looks like it's landscaped. So are you building a deck that you haven't shown?
No. There's not very many feet between the deck of the house and the swimming pool. It's going to have probably stepping stones or artificial turf or something around the pool on the upper side, but there's no deck that's planned to be built on there.
So my comment in that regard would be that I think it would help the board understand what's being proposed, although it's not really affecting the neighbor, but I would recommend that you show a site plan that has those elements indicated. I think it would help me at least understand what's going on there. And then I do appreciate you moving the pool equipment away from the direct line of sight of the Via Bolzano people. And then my last comment, I suspect this is my last comment, although I might generate some more. There's a bit of space to the north of the house, but they didn't want, and it looks a little flatter, they didn't want to use that space for the pool. They preferred to build it on the slope.
Well, their whole living quarters is in the back, you know, for windows and for where they live. And the end of the house is more of a, starts out very high, and it slopes down and continues to go down. So there's actually more grading involved, and there's room on the end of the house, but it's kind of out in nowhere land.
And then I would just comment that if one wished to have a proper topo map of the site there, I think that you could certainly obtain one from the civil engineer that created that in 2016 or 15. So if that were indeed in question, and in regard to your screening possibilities, one, I want to confirm that long line of hedging at the property line is indeed existing. Is that true?
True.
Yeah, you can see it in the photographs.
So. Yeah, it's the trees. In that picture.
I just wanted to clarify that because I think Member Clinton was thinking that was being added, which it is not. It's existing. And then you're just proposing that Pittosporum or Heteromeles or something along the edge of the infinity basin. And then I think too, it would help the board understand a little bit if you would show an elevation of that infinity basin. And then I question, what is the purpose of putting some type of veneer on that basin when you're growing a hedge over it?
Well, the neighbors requested that.
It seems like it would be as effective to paint it an earth color and then make sure that your hedging is 4 feet on center or something so that it screens it appropriately. So those are my questions and comments as far as I can generate right now.
Great. Dennis, do you want to add anything?
No, nothing to add, Chair Branch.
Craig?
I guess along those lines, there was a couple, I guess there was a, there's, I think these are just, well, I wanted to understand from the new plan that's being shown to us now that we didn't get until just now, as far as the additional screening, and I see the proposed 36-inch box olive tree in lieu of what was a oak tree previously, but it looks like that diameter hasn't changed. Is that, do the oaks and the olives grow the same canopy sizes?
Shoot, I mean, it's gonna depend on the olive that you go and choose, but a 36-inch olive tree is a pretty substantial olive. It's probably gonna be even wider than an oak tree would when you put it in, so.
After 5 years, okay.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's
okay.
Large tree.
Right, okay. And where are we finding the aesthetic information of this pool structure? You know, I see the cross section structurally, but where am I finding, like, where does it call out the stone cladding? I guess you're going to clad these vertical walls in stone.
Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. I think Member DeGasis was suggesting maybe it gets this, it's cast in place concrete as best I can tell. So how is, where are we finding the aesthetic information, which is kind of the key to why we're here?
The only thing you're going to see is part of that basin wall on the outside. And I mean, it's just going to be faced with Cherokee stone. And if you need us to provide a picture of that, happy to do so.
So are you going to backfill to, let's say, the ends of the this structure and sort of slope the topography up to just under the coping? Or it looks to me in this cross section that's on the screen in blue, this teal blue color, that there's a triangle sticking up above grade that would need to be treated somehow.
That would be faced the same way as the bottom.
Okay. And you're proposing cladding it all in stone?
Yes.
Okay, so so this is a conceptual review, I guess, because we're not seeing details or material samples or you know, that type of thing. Is that why we're here, just for conceptual comments?
What are your agenda? Is it? Yeah, well, it's conceptual, preliminary, final in terms of our agenda, but yeah, I mean, without details and proper call outs and stuff like that, then
well, sure, if the board is amenable to the finish of the pool being in either stone or a painted finish, then is it possible that you could move it forward with us, you know, adding that on so they don't have to come back, you know, to the agenda in a month from now? It sounds like the only materials that you're concerned about is how the wall is being treated. So that's a simple fix to make and, you know, resubmit this to the planner involved.
Well, we're discussing that right now. So,
yeah, I mean, my feeling is I'd be totally comfortable with conceptual and preliminary at this point, but we need to see details. And it's, I think it's more than what the applicant just mentioned. What about lighting? You know, is there going to be exterior lighting that encroaches on the neighbors? You know, I think we need a more like a blow up plan of the pool area itself with pool details.
There's no closed. Oh, I'm sorry. There's the only lighting is inside the pool.
Okay.
And it's LED lighting, which is like 24 watts. It's different than any other pool we build. It's there's no lighting outside of it. And like I said, the area between the pool and the house is just stepping stones. And so I don't see where anybody's even going to see those stepping stones except for the people that live in the house. And then the only other issue on the outside is Cherokee stone is about the most natural stone in Santa Barbara that you could face anyone with to make it look.
No, like- that's all fine. That's all well and good. All I can go off of is the submittal, the package that's in front of us. So those things aren't on here. So it's hard for us to do anything with it. I mean, we can talk. I think what we're looking at right now is massing in terms of aesthetics. Massing and neighborhood compatibility is essentially what we're looking at here today. And on that note, I'll just go into comments. It looks like you've done a very exhaustive and extensive neighbor outreach or some in consideration of the neighbors. So I think that's commendable. And it looks like you've taken the measures necessary to be sensitive to the neighbor. So I totally appreciate that. And then in terms of the aesthetics, yeah, the massing is all supportable. It's basically buried in the ground for 75% of it. And then what you've described is all supportable. I just think we need to see it one last time, coping details and how you plan to, you know, finish it out. I don't know what the cladding looks like when it meet vertical surfaces, meet horizontal surfaces, et cetera. So I can support the project in general. I just think we probably need a little more detail to be able to give it final approval.
Okay. I'll chime in. Jim, you got a hand raised. Do you want to add something else?
Yeah, that's our.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with Craig. I think conceptually, this is very supportable. And I too appreciate the reach out with the neighbors. That's how it should be. And you guys have navigated that brilliantly, it seems. So, but I also agree with Craig about wanting more information, and particularly with Martha about, you know, maybe an enlarged plan of that area with a little bit more detail of what the initial, you know, what is the immediate planting surrounding that, a little more detail about how much is sticking out of it, and if your planting is, you know, is good enough around it, I would say why spend the money on stone if it's going to be shielded by landscaping, you know. I mean, it would look nice if you know seeing stone around that is a great aesthetic, but it's an aesthetic for the neighbors, and if the landscaping is going to take a long time to cover that, then perhaps that is warranted. But if the landscaping is mature rather quickly, then it seems like that might be a good cost savings to avoid having to do all that stone. And you know, Martha's idea of maybe painting the concrete an earth tone color, or even just stuccoing it or something like that, might be a more economical way to do that. I think in concept what you guys are doing is great and very supportable, and moving the equipment to the north there was a good move. So I think you guys are doing all the right things. I mean, you might be able to get a more detailed topo from the original developers, because obviously they had to develop all the sites in terms of your section, but it looks pretty dialed to me in terms of the lengths to which you've gone to kind of demonstrate, you know, your sensitivity to privacy concerns. So I think it's completely supportable, but yeah, it does need more detail for it to be approved, but we can certainly get you on our next meeting, for sure. So, anybody else have any other comments?
Yes. Kara?
Yeah. Can I just back up Martha? When I would just suggest thinking about where it's located. You could move it down, you know, away from the pinnacle. Move it this way. You can move it on the side. I would suggest playing with what is there. I didn't really understand. Is the wall already there? Is there a 5-foot? Is there an 8-foot wall for 35 feet?
The pool.